try to help you not to get the idea that just because you receive a little prosperity and blessings from God that you should be always living in fear. God doesn't want you to live in fear. It's not His program, it's not His plan for you to live in fear. God wants you to live without fear. He that feareth, the Bible said, is not made perfect in love. So if you have fear in your heart, it's very evident that you are not at peace and that you are not made perfect in love. For when you are made perfect in love, then you do not have fear in your heart. Not even of death. Whereas the Bible said, love is as strong as death. And when you're made perfect in love, then you don't even have any fear of death. As a matter of fact, it's like I was telling somebody over in the evening that death would be a great relief. A lot of people would like to see death. Death would be getting out of this world of responsibility and problems and anxieties and all these other things. Where somebody would say, well, I'll be honest with you, Brother Pike, I ain't wanting to die. I just like to stay around. Well, that's nice, I guess, you know. I guess it would be nice. I guess we all would like to stay around as far as staying around, but I don't know if it's ever occurred to you or not, but you're not going to stay around. How do you know you're not going to stay around? There never has been anybody that ever stayed around. You ever remember anybody staying around? All the history I've read about, or anybody, your granddad and grandmother and the wives and husbands and brothers and sisters and neighbors and friends and enemies and great men and little men and women and whatever, none of them ever got to stay around, so there's no need of you getting used to staying around, you know, and getting the idea about staying around and getting where you like this place and liking what you have and laying up a whole lot of things so that you can be around enjoying it, because you're not going to stay around. Young or old, you might not understand what I'm saying, but there's no need of you thinking about that, so there's no need of getting used to that. So it really don't make any difference about how you feel about that of wanting to stay around. That don't have anything to do with it. That's neither here nor there. But like I said, a lot of people, you know, death, as you call it, which really is sleep, it's really a relief to a lot of people to get out of a lot of responsibilities and problems and whatever. And most people, when their time comes to cross over, they don't care all that much about departing out of life, but they are glad to get away from a lot of problems and a lot of heartaches and a lot of sorrows. So the only thing that troubles me about that is I haven't done anything much for God, and I think about leaving without doing anything for God, and that troubles me. And you like to be around for your loved ones, you know, but one of these days you're going to leave that behind anyway. A lot of times, the way that we think of things, we kind of misinterpret and misunderstand. God has given us death as a means of relief. We think of death as being so cruel, but in all reality, God has given us death, and He's given it to us as a relief from sorrow and problems and heartaches, and as a way out, a way of escape from these terrible, terrible situations of life. To you and I, you know, we don't think it's too terrible to breathe and stay in this world and eat and drink. And that wouldn't be so bad if that's all there was to it. But if you ever get into the other side of it, of cancer and heartaches and sorrow and troubles and problems, and if you ever go through wrecks and where you're broken all to pieces and you go through pain and misery, or you're half burned to death like some little boys and girls sometimes, or the horrible things in life happen to you to where for many months you do nothing but suffer, then you'll welcome death. Money won't mean anything to you, and prosperity and all these things won't mean anything to you. Or you look and see your little loved ones languish and you can't do anything about it, and you spend all that you got and they're still suffering, and you feel like taking a gun, you know, and blowing your brains out. Like a man one time, some of the brethren was telling me about it. He's caught in a fire, had a wreck, and he was burning to death, and he was begging the patrolman to blow his brains out, and the patrolman backed off and said, I just can't do it. He said, but if anybody else will take my gun, I'll turn my head while you blow his brains out. You know, the man was begging him to kill him. I remember another man where I mentioned this to you, where he got caught. The train come together where it buckled and it caught him. It was a big man, caught his stomach and buckled him like this. And when it did, he was in such horrible pain. He was screaming and asking somebody to take a scanlan and knock his brains out. You know, you don't understand. You know, you think you want to live. And there's a difference between a life and an existing. But people that spend their time in hell or in the lake of fire, they'll still be conscious as to life. But it won't be any life to that, folks. So this body really, in the end, it becomes a place of torture and torment because Satan is the god of this world. And this thing becomes a prison as to bars of bones to hold your soul. And those senses that you follow after actually are only something to torment you. They are there as a web to get you, and once they get you ensnared, then they'll torment you throughout eternity. And a lot of times you say, well, Brother Pike, you say that death didn't come from God or come by God, it came by man, and that death is God's enemy. And I know that's true. And when I speak of death, I speak of it like that. I'm speaking of death. But when I speak of death as to the way you term death, I'm speaking of sleep, that God has given us sleep that we might go to sleep and get away from these things. For death is when you go into the lake of fire, and when your spirit departs from God. This is the death that God spoke of that come by man, even sin. But a lot of times God allows the spirit to depart from the body. He's given you sleep and given you rest, you know, that you might escape these horrible, hideous things. We misinterpret a lot of things. Like a lot of times I think about the love of God, and it's so great, And we think of God loving us through the Lord Jesus Christ, which is certainly not a misinterpretation nor a mistake. God does love us through Jesus Christ, and that's the only way He can love us, is through His precious Son, as His Son made it possible. Had He not made it possible, we could not be loved at all by God Almighty. But see, God did not love us because of Jesus. God loved us. He loved us. God loved us, not because of Jesus. The Bible said God so loved the world that He gave Jesus. He so loved the world that He gave His Son. The only way that He can love us is through Jesus. And the only way that He can redeem us is through Jesus. The only way He can look upon us, as I said this morning, or get to us, or even behold us, is in that state of purity as through the Christ. That's the only way He can even look at His creation. So then, He loves us through Jesus. He has our fellowship through Jesus. But He so loved us that He gave Jesus that He might be able to love us and have our love through the Lord Jesus Christ. So God, the great compassionate Spirit, made Himself a body and came down into that body, into this world, that He might love us, that He might care for us and draw us with cords of love unto Himself. I know it's warm tonight, and really it's not bad. You know, when you think of being warm, all you do is heat up a little bit and sweat. And that's about all that happens to you. If you just kind of settle down to it, you know, you've got a little perspiration or whatever. Most men, they're pretty much used to it. Most women, they work until the pores open up, and then they perspire, and they sweat, and then they're comfortable. And heat really doesn't bother you much until, you know, except for the first little bit before the pores open up. So it's not all that bad. It's bad when you get inside of a place where there's an air conditioner and it closes up the pores, and then you get out and you walk right out into the heat and all the pores are closed up, and that's bad. Hot then. But years ago, when we didn't have the air conditioning, whatever, everything was fine. We didn't have all that much problem with it. We didn't think that much about it. But tonight, it isn't all that bad. I'm already perspiring. I'm sure you are too. Years gone by, I used to preach until I was wringing wet with sweat anyway. I didn't think all that much about it. I thank the Lord for our convenience. Tonight, I think we just ought to kind of settle down a little bit and enjoy the word of the Lord and forget about the infirmities of the flesh and the complaints of the flesh. And it ain't never satisfied anyway, because Like the Bible said, the appetite's never satisfied, and the flesh is never satisfied. It's always complaining. It's always got a complaint because the devil is in the flesh, and the devil is with the flesh, and the devil savors the things that be of the flesh, and the devil's ever driving the mind of the flesh, and is never satisfied unless it's eating and drinking and riding and lounging and in comforts and convenience. And sure enough, when you follow that, what you do, you kill yourself. Because the devil will cause the flesh to lounge until eventually it kills itself. So you've got to go against the grain to keep the body alive. All right, chapter 8, if you've got your Bibles, you can read with me. Really, I think I'll start in chapter 7, maybe read both of these chapters. It seemed like it would be needful if I read both of these chapters. I'm sure it isn't going to hurt us to get a little bit of the word of the Lord. Chapter 7 of the book of Romans. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if a husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit, and not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust except the law had said, Thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once. When the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold unto sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are dead is not to the flesh to live after the flesh, for if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For if you not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption and the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to wit the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights, nor depths, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Okay, now when I say, the creature shall also be delivered, the earnest expectation of the creature waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, I am speaking of the change of the body. The body is called the creature. I remember when I was in Indiana one time, there was a dispute. I was a German scholar there in the school where we was teaching. And he rose up in the school. He was a very, very brilliant scholar. And he rose up in the school and defied me. And he also defied me concerning the creature as to what it was. And he had another understanding of the creature. But nevertheless, the creature is the body. It's referring to the body as to the creature. That it has not been redeemed, but it will be changed and be redeemed. The price has been paid for it, and it has not been redeemed as to the change. But it hath been redeemed as to the price paid for it. For it is the purchased possession. It was purchased at Calvary by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it will be delivered into the glorious liberty of the children of God. That is to say, what the change shall be like, or as to your spirit on the inside, as to what it already is in Christ Jesus. Now, it tells us here in Romans, the 7th chapter, the first part, it says, brethren, we are dead to the law by the body of Christ. I want you to think on that now. We're dead to the law that we should be married to another. I want you to think on that. If we are dead to the law, why do we then try to serve the law? A lot of people are heretic, and they still try to serve the law. We've mentioned this to you a number of times. But why do you still try to bring the law about if you are dead to the law? The purpose of the body of Jesus was to make you to be dead to the law, that the law would have no dominion over the creature as to your flesh. So the whole purpose of Calvary was that you might be dead to the law, divorced from the law, away from the law, to have nothing to do with the law, because as long as you're married to the law, then the law hath dominion over you and you are a sinner. But if you be dead to the law, then you're divorced from the law, you have nothing to do with the law, and the law is thus fulfilled in your spirit, that ye are fulfilled from the law. For the law cannot pass away until every jot and every tittle is fulfilled. The law is therefore, as we brought it out this morning, that glory as to the former house of that which is the veiled glory, which is the lesser glory, and we are the unveiled as to the law having passed away, and we are no longer in the flesh under condemnation. Therefore, we are free from the law to be married to another, even to the Lord Jesus Christ. So we are the bride of Christ. Now, Israel being under the law, belonging to God, charged with folly because they had transgressed the law, in that no man keeps the law, they were charged as to saying they had played the harlot under every green tree because they could not keep the law. God had so fixed it that not one human being could be justified by the law, not even Jesus Christ himself, though he kept every jot and every tittle. The Lord still smote him as a man, that no flesh should glory in the presence of God, and that we should know no man, a woman, after the flesh, not even the Lord Jesus Christ, though he lived perfect. The Bible said you're not to know him after the flesh. We have known him after the flesh, but from henceforth we know not even him after the flesh anymore. But he might be the head of all humanity as the quickening spirit, and all of us being born of the spirit, that it should be God who has the preeminence. And after the millennium reign, then the Bible said the Son, even the body, shall be subject to the Spirit, even the Heavenly Father, who shall be all in all. So then we see the beautiful thing here of what God is telling us, that our justification now is that there is now therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, that is, that's not married to the law, but now married to the Spirit, who are not in the flesh, dead by the body of the Lord Jesus, and free from the body of this death. Now we are now in the Spirit. So that which is born of spirit is spirit, and we're now free from the law of sin and death, because we are free from the weakness of the flesh by the body of the Lord Jesus. And he tells us here that in the body there is no good thing in the flesh. He said, for to perform righteousness in the flesh, he said, I cannot find the way to do it. He said, because though the law is spiritual, he said, I'm carnal and sold unto sin as to this creature, having been made subject to bondage by reason of the Lord, who subjected the same in hope. And we don't have time to comment on that. He said, I delight in the law of God in my spiritual being. But he said, in my fleshly body, he said, it's just as contrary to godliness as it can be. And it's subject to vanity and to the gullible desires of this world. And all of my human ego and all of my human senses runs after the world and wants to go whoring after the world. And he said, it is a continual conflict and is a continual warfare between my body and my spirit. And Paul was saying, I'm confused over it. I don't understand it. And God was saying to him, Paul, the reason for that is because Satan, even Lucifer, is the god of this world. And this body comes from the beggarly elements of this world, as to the dust of this world. And Satan has an advantage, and he works through the flesh. And because he works through these human senses, he makes war against the spiritual world, or the inner part as to the spiritual being. And so there's a conflict that though you delight in the things of God after the inner man, you can't do what you would like to do as to the inner desire, because Satan runs conflict with it by causing the outer passion and the outer desires of this outer man to always go contrary, because it desires the things of this world. And old Paul, he said, it aggravates me so. He said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He said, it's just a death by the body. And who's going to deliver me from the body of this death? He said, I just can't get free from it. Then he said, I thank God that what the law could not do, in that my body was so weak it couldn't form it, or that the law was weak through the flesh. God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, he just took a human body, the image of sin, nailed it to Calvary once and for all, done away with human bodies. And that's the end of it. It was a credited to me, and I am no more in the body. My spirit went back to God who gave it. Now I'm dead to the things of the world, but the body of the Lord Jesus, I'm dead to sin. And he buried my body when he buried the body of the Lord Jesus, and now I am buried in baptism as a testimony of that, and my spirit now dwells in heaven, and I am completely free from the flesh and all the things of the flesh and all the things of the world. And all I've got to do is the proof of that if I have the Holy Spirit on the inside of me, and my spirit is born of God's spirit, then my spirit will go after the things of God, and I will mortify the deeds of the flesh and constantly put the flesh down and constantly hate the flesh and the ways of this life and constantly put it aside and be aggravated with it and just turn away from it. Though the outer man perish, yet the inner man is renewed day by day, Paul said. He said, and so then we're not in the flesh, so there's no condemnation to us. We're walking after the Spirit and not after the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. That is, they that are born of Adam still have the mind of Eve, of that old tree of knowledge. And it was said, the day that thou eatest thereof, to be fleshly minded or carnally minded is death. But if you have this mind of the new birth, it is the mind of Christ, and this is life. And you'll be spiritually minded, and you'll think on spiritual things, and you'll go after spiritual things, and you'll mind spiritual things. That is, you'll think on spiritual things, desire spiritual things, meditate in spiritual things, and want to be spiritual. You'll want to have a spiritual mind. He said, that's the difference. If you're not spiritually minded, then you'll think on natural things, want natural things. You'll go after natural things. Your whole life will be a composition of natural things. All of your thinking, all of your desire, all of your plans, all of your meditation will be a mind of natural talking, laughing, joking, gossiping, backbiting, whatever it might be in the world as pertaining to the natural thing. That will be your composition of thinking. And he said, if that be so, then you're dead. All right, so we see the difference. He said, therefore I cannot do the things I'd like to do, because there's always an interference from this old outside body, in that the devil is working through the weakness of the flesh to war against my mind. And he said, I refuse to let the devil work in my body. I refuse to let the devil have my mind. He said, I won't give place to him, no, not for a minute. I'll put him down and war against him, and I'll fast, and I'll keep this body under subjection. I'll bring it into subjection, and I'll put it down, and I'll make it perish. I'll do away with it. I'll mortify the deeds of the body. I'll be contrary to it all the days of my life and not give place to it all the days of my life. I'll hate my life in this world for Christ's sake, so that Satan will not have any place in my life, no, not for a moment. So then they that walk after the Spirit, of course, are they that are in the Spirit. And because of this, then it's very easy to distinguish that which is sonship. And this is where the world is today. When you look around and you see the church world today, it's not easy to tell the difference. You look around and you can see there's a conflict. It is so close that it would deceive the very elect if it was possible. It's not easy to tell what is what. But it is easy to tell the children of God, if you are living right and living holy, in that you can discern by your own spirit and your own desire and your own way of life, in that John said, we know that they are wrong because we know that we're right. But I've said this so many times, if you do not know that you're right, and you're just hoping that you're right, or maybe you think that you're right, there ain't no way that you can tell whether they're right or wrong, because you don't really know whether you're right or wrong. But when you really truthfully know down in your heart that you're doing the best that you know how to do, and that you're altogether sincere with God, and you're walking in all the light that you know, and you're doing everything possible to please God, when you see somebody contrary, that those people aren't right with God and that they don't have the Holy Spirit. You can discern and you can tell who is right and who is wrong. So then today, are they that are of the world? Are we then of they that are of the flesh? Are we people of the flesh? Am I one of the flesh? Are you one of the flesh? If I'm one of the flesh and you're one of the flesh, then that means that we're not one of them that are of heaven. For heaven is the Spirit. And if we be those that are of the flesh, that love to eat and to drink and to buy and to sail and go and to ride and laugh and talk and lounge around and have convenience and do the things of the world and buy and sell and have all of these things as to positions in the world, then that means that we are not heavenly born. We're not heavenly oriented. We do not have a heavenly mind, and we do not have a heavenly desire, and we do not have a heavenly reward. It means that we are the child of bondage, and we have a mind of bondage, and we are in bondage to the beggarly elements of this world, even to monetary values, and even to the things of this world, and even to the prestige, and even to sight and hearing and feel and taste, and all of these things that be of the flesh. But if I and you, if we have escaped the beggarly elements of this world, and we've gotten away from these things by mortifying the deeds of the body, by having passed from this body of death unto life, then we're born to the Spirit, and we're not walking in the flesh. That is to say, we're not in the mind of the flesh. If I live every day in the mind of Christ, I couldn't be in the mind of the flesh. And if you're not in the mind of the flesh, then you're not in the flesh. Though you have the body with you, yet you're not in the flesh, because it's a matter of a mind as to what mind you are in. Whether you be in the mind of Christ or the spiritual mind, or in the mind of this world as to the mind of Lucifer, in that Satan minds the things that be of the flesh, the things that be of the world. If the love of the world is in you, then the love of the Father isn't there. You know, for many years I wondered about the scripture and these passages of scripture. I'd never in my life, ever in all of my travels around the nation of the world, I'd never heard anybody preach on them or explain them. And I was baffled by them all my life. All my life I wondered. And I thought, my God, I just wished I could understand. I wish I could understand. And I had this conflict within my body and my spirit, and I couldn't understand that. It just about drove me crazy all the time. Because I knew I was sincere, and I knew I was trying and doing all I could, and I never could understand it. And then one day, when God gave me the revelation of Jesus Christ and took me away into this wonderful thing that Paul had received, and I went up into the heavenlies and I saw these things in heaven, and God began to open my understanding, and then I saw this thing, and I thought, my God, now I understand what's going on. And I understand these things. I understand what Paul was saying, and why the church is in such a tremendous conflict, and why there's such a travail and such a problem, and what's going on as to Christ being formed within us. And I begin to realize then the safety of the church, and what God had done for the church, and how secure the church was, and how that God had in such a great way, through the sufferings of Christ, secured the church, and that with all of these conflicts and all these problems, that I didn't have anything to worry about. And that all these tortures and torments of mind, and these things that had conflicted with me for many years and caused me all of my worries, that I didn't have to worry about these things at all. That they were mere stepping stones, and that I was strong and powerful in God just by faith. And coming into the knowledge of this made me the more stronger and more powerful in God, because Satan could have even less advantage, because I could rise up like eagles, spreading my wings against the powers of the wind and the storm and these evils. I could just rise up above these things into the heavenlies and be stronger than ever in God and do greater things for God. So then, I have tried since I've come into these things to share with people when I find open minds or when I find concerned hearts. You know, there's not a lot of people that are concerned. You can't share things like this with people that are not concerned, because these are things that's far beyond human reasoning and human thinking. And people have to be in a real spirit of concern to be able to even get a hold of things like this. But if they ever get a hold of things like this, then that means that they are people of another dimension. Because people that are not in this other dimension will never get a hold of these things. They are reflectors, and they will hear what you say, but they will not conceive of this, and they will not perceive of what you're saying, and they will not come to this to understand. As Solomon said, with wisdom get understanding. And they'll never come to this to understand. Therefore, they will not understand this great, wonderful thing of God. For the Bible said, they will not understand when good cometh. If this be hid, it be hid to them that are lost. Even Satan, Lucifer, the god of this world, having blinded their eyes, they being in the mind of the world, in the flesh, will not see the mind of Christ or the good when it cometh as to the thoughts of Christ Jesus. Whereas the Bible said to you and I, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who being made in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. So then by the body of Jesus Christ, I am now made equal with God. I am now made in the form of God by the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am born of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Now then I am made equal with God through the righteousness of the Lord Jesus. I am told to come boldly before the throne of grace into the holies of holies, by the righteousness of God, that I don't have to come before the throne again as it was with them of the Old Testament, heavy laden with condemnation. I can go before God now without condemnation. I just go before the throne. I don't go before the throne with condemnation. Still have the same war. The warfare is continual. I still have the same accusations against me, Satan, the accuser of the brethren. I still have him accusing me. If it's a Revelation 12, one of these days, God is going to force him out into a human body. He'll be a human personification. He won't be in a spiritual closure to where he can accuse as he's doing today. He won't be in between man and God as to accuse the brethren. Whereas he's not between man and God now as to the blood, because God doesn't see him anymore. He doesn't accept him anymore. That body of death is gone. But as to your human mind, you're still listening at him, because you still hear him, but you don't have to pay any attention to him. He's just like a chipmunk chattering. So then all you got to do is go boldly before the throne of grace, and with all of his accusations, you just bypass that with these wonderful words of God. Like, for instance, the Lord says to you, I am the Lord thy God that healeth thee. So then you say, the Lord God of heaven has healed me. He said, I am the Lord thy God that healeth thee. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. So then, the substance I'm hoping for is healing. So then I've got faith, I've got my healing. Therefore, I believe what the Lord said, I'm thus healed. That's my substance. I've already received it. Don't have to see it. I've already received it. That's my substance. That's my healing when I got faith. That's it right there. It's already given to me. I've already got it. Don't have to see it. I've already got it. I buy a piece of land over here. They give me the contract on it. I didn't have to see it. As long as they give it to me, I got the contract. I know it's by law. It's sealed. It'll stand up if I ever go to claim my land. I don't have to see the land because I got everything sealed in order. I've already got it because I got the contract on it. So then faith is my substance. I've already got it. It's the evidence of that which I'm hoping for. It's my evidence in the event I have to go to court. It's my proof of my land. It's my ownership. See, so I am the Lord thy God that healeth thee. And he said, and I will take sickness out from the midst of thee. If you will be diligently in my will to hearken unto my word, to keep my statutes and to keep my commandments and do all that I've commanded you, I will move sickness out from the midst of you. I will not bring upon you, or that is, I will not allow to come upon you, and that God doesn't do anything wrong. I will not allow the evils to come upon you that come upon the Egyptians, and I will keep you healthy and whole. There wasn't as much as one sick person among them when he brought them out as to several million people. And there was not one of them that their feet even swelled. And he took care of them all during that time, even back under the law. How much more today under grace? So then we find today these wonderful promises in God. We have all these promises that His blessing maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. That He makes us to ride upon the high places of the earth. And that when we believe God, all of these things belong to us. All we have to do is believe. I'm a firm believer in faith. I believe in faith. I believe God meant exactly what He said. It doesn't matter how much pain comes, how much disappointment comes, how many problems comes, faith is real. There's no change of God's word. He will not alter the thing that's going out of His mouth. He will not change it. He will watch over His word. He will hasten to perform it. And the Bible said His word shall not return unto Him void. It will accomplish that He pleases, prosper in that whereunto He hath sent it. And His word is the same to 1,000 generations. So then faith in the word is unaltered and unchanged. He's not a man that he should lie nor repent. What He hath said, He will bring it to pass. So then that means that all of the good promises of God belongs to us. And the Bible said not one good promise has ever failed. For His word is the power of God. The Bible said the gospel is the power of God to everyone that believes. Even unto salvation. And the power of God is as to healing. He sent His word and healed them. By His word He created the heavens. By His word He spoke you and I into existence. And by His word He made His word flesh. And His word as the fleshly body of Jesus went about healing the people. And today His word being the same to 1,000 generations. See, His word comes to us. The Bible said it was with the Jews, but not being mixed with faith, it did not profit them that heard it. And it can be with you and I, even as the Bible. But if we don't use it, it does not profit us. But here it is, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Without respect to person, went about healing all, said, let whosoever will. And so then, saying, I will that you be made whole. And here we stand. See, and to you and I, here is the word of God. And all we do is believe it, and that word transforms into power. That word changes in the spirit, and that word changes into life. And that word is your word and my word without respect to person. And whatever we want to do with it, we can do it. We can do it. We don't have to ask anybody. The blood has taken away our sins. All of our sins is gone. The body of condemnation is gone. We're in the spirit. We don't have to worry about sins. Our sins are forgiven for Christ's sake. He hath imputed faith unto us. And that is our works. And His righteousness is our works before God. And the Bible said He will not impute sin but faith unto us for righteousness. Having took away the sin, eradicated the sin, that there be no more sin. So then we are free from sin. We're free from condemnation. We're free from the body of death. We're free from sickness. I am the Lord God that healeth thee. David said, He is the Lord that forgiveth all of mine iniquities and healeth all of my diseases. And He said, forget not all of His benefits. So if God heals all of my diseases, if God forgives all of mine iniquities, then I have a right to believe in God. If God will not impute iniquity unto me, whereas the Bible said, blessed is the man unto whom God will not impute sin, and blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven, whose iniquities are covered, then that means that I'm in the day of the wonderful blessing of the Lord, wherein the works of righteousness is wrought by Christ. And all I have to do is believe, and in this I receive a justification in the sight of God. I should have the abundance of blessings from God. As a matter of fact, this is the way I get the abundance of blessings from God. I get my heart's desire. I get what I want. I go where I want to. I do what I want to because God is with me. And God blesses me and God lifts me up and God blesses me. He takes me where I want to go and He lets me do what I want to do because I believe in Christ Jesus. I love the Lord. I trust in the Lord and He is my shepherd. He is my staff. He is my stay. He makes my enemies to be at peace with me. But they come out against me one way, he makes them to flee before me seven ways. He prepareth the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. He anointeth my head with oil, my cup runs over. God gives me the desires of my heart. He leads me into the green pastures. He restoreth my soul. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not fear. I shall not want. God giveth me the desires of my heart. So then, when we talk about these wonderful things that Paul discovered in the Revelation, what should we do? We should do as the Bible said, rejoice forevermore, because I'm free from the body of sin, and I'm free from the body of death, and I'm free from the body of condemnation, and I'm free from that body of accusation, and I'm free from the body of corruption, and now I am clean and holy and godly and perfect and pure and healed and whole and rich and full of wisdom and understanding in His sight and by His righteousness. And I am heir and joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ. And He hath given to me wisdom and knowledge and joy and blessings and riches and all things that pertain unto life, because I believe that, because I believe in Him and I walk in Him and I trust Him every day of my life. And He said, if I walk in His way, if I do His will, He will move sickness out of my midst. He will bring none of these things upon me. And though the enemy would come out against me one way, God will make him flee before me seven ways. No matter what he does, God will overtake him. And God will scatter his evil forces. And God will drive him away. And God will always make me to be the victor. Paul said, thank God who always gives us the victory through Jesus Christ. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith in Jesus Christ. Somebody say hallelujah. All right. Somebody say hallelujah. All right. That's better. That makes me think that you mean it. You love the Lord? All right. So God gives us the victory. I won't hold you long. I come late this morning. So as my wife said, I'm an extremist. I got here early tonight. But I said enough to you tonight that should hold you for another month. I won't get to be with you in the next little bit, because Wednesday I'll be leaving before church service, as far as I know. So I won't get to be with you. I'll get to be with the men probably in men's meeting, unless something goes a little bit different from what I see now. But other than that, the only ones I'll get to be with between now and the weekend will be the people that's going out to Nevada with me. You pray for the meeting. Pray that God will bless us. And whether we have 4 or 5 or whether we have 400 or 500, you pray that the Lord will bless us. And that's hard country out there, but we don't have but 1 or 2. We'll do what we can for that 1 or 2. Maybe we'll get Chuck's folks saved. I understand that there's 2 or 3 families that are supposed to come out from California. It's just a couple of 100 miles away. A long time since we preached up and down the coast in Anaheim there for the full gospel businessmen, and out in Hollywood, West Hollywood, California, the different places. But downtown Los Angeles, it's been a long time up and down that coast. But Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Still people that need the gospel. Can we stand together? Maybe Bob and them will even get out. I guess they know about the meeting, don't they, Brother Smiter? They'll probably get out to be with us, I hope. All right. How many believe in the Word? Let me see your hand. How many know God is the Word, and the beginning was the Word? God is still alive. His desire is to make you the Word. To make you the Word. To make you the walking, talking, loving, thinking, acting, believing Word. Wouldn't you like to be the Word? Jesus was the Word. He's supposed to be flesh of His flesh and bone of His bone. To make you the Word. I love Him. Don't you love Him? I just love the Lord. There's something about the Lord is sweet. The Bible said, taste and see if the Lord is sweet. He's sweet. Lest you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. So sweet. He saves us from death. He saves us from hurt. He saves us from misery. He saves us from pain. He saves us from poverty. He saves us from all of the evils of the world. Jesus, our wonderful Savior. And I will praise Him. I will praise Would ask Mike Angel to come up, if you will, and dismiss us tonight. Appreciate Mike. He's really been working real hard around here. He's worked out in the hot sun hour after hour. And he's also purchased his ticket to go out to Nevada with us. All of a sudden, the tickets have gone up terrifically high. I think they move up from a couple hundred dollars to about $400. And if you cancel out till you get your ticket back, it goes up another $50, I think. And now I think the motels have jumped up from about, well, Ricky got them down to about $50, from about $100 to about $50. And now they've, this time of season, I think they jumped up to about, well, the one that Betty and I was getting for $50, I think it's jumped up to $250 or something. So it's terrifically high. But you that have already made preparations, I guess everything will be all right for you. We will give Him glory, all ye people, for the blood has washed away every stain. Sing it with me now. Sinners slain. Can you lift your hands and close your eyes? Let us hear Him glory, all ye people, for His blood has washed away. One more time together now. Once again now. And I